Spirit and God's plan. Let's take a moment. Thank you, Lord, that we can gather together. Thank you, Lord, no matter where we are, you are with us. That's your promise. And you said, Jesus, I will never leave you or forsake you. Oh, and when we sing about the goodness of God, how good that is. Father, this morning, as we think about Pentecost, your Holy Spirit poured out in us. We give you praise and glory. And Holy Spirit, again, we invite you to have your way. We delight in you, Lord. We delight in your presence in us. And so, Father, again, we thank you for your great love. Jesus, we thank you for your demonstration through your death, burial, and resurrection of your great love for us. And now we say thank you for the Holy Spirit who empowers us, encourages us, counsels us, brings your revelation. And we thank you, Father, for the greatness, your great love. Amen. Amen. We're a blessed people. Man, hey? A blessed people. Well, I know that we're kind of on a bit of a time crunch with the whole thing, so let me power through some review. My main scripture for this series is, salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. It's all about Jesus, folks. And it is a finished work. Amen? Amen? But we're looking at the fact that my first message is we are saved. And we looked at the fact that we are saved and made perfect in our spirit. Holy Spirit connects with our spirit. We are perfect. Last week I challenged us, you know, sometimes we're so busy looking at the circumstances around us, we forget we have a different circumstance in the spirit. Are you looking around heaven with your spiritual eyes and seeing the circumstance there in there that our spirit is? We are alive to God. We are in the heavenly, seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Our spirit has been made righteous, pure, perfect in all ways. I'm not going to review my first message. We have been saved. And then last week, I'm going to again put up that word. Oh, maybe or maybe not. Oh, come on. We'll turn on, turn it on. Let's see. Okay. It is on. Can we move forward? One thing. Anyhow, well, we're trying to figure out what's happening with the PowerPoint. We looked at that word saved, sozo. It means when we say saved, that we are saved, kept safe and sound, rescued from danger or destruction, saved from suffering and disease. It's to be to make well, to heal, restore to health, deliver from the penalties of messianic judgment, and saved from the evils which obstruct us from receiving reception of the messianic deliverance. All right. Whew. So there we are. Let's move on. This was our word, for the word of God is alive and active, sharper than a double-edged sword. It penetrates to even the division of soul and spirit, joint and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. So we know that we are a spirit. That means we're born again from above. That is the true you, your identity in Christ in the spirit. You have life. And the Holy Spirit indwells you as a believer. Then when you have a soul, that is your mind, your will, your emotions, your personality, and your ego. Some people call it your self-conscious or self-awareness. And you live in a body, and that body tastes, sees, touches, smells. It helps you connect with the world out here. And that is the soul that is being saved. And we looked at Philippians 2, 12 to 13. It says, therefore, my dear friends, as you've always obeyed, not only in my presence, but how much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you, to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. Let me read that last part again. For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. Aren't you glad that it isn't up to you? It's what he's doing by his grace. But we do get to participate. Okay, so what is the soul? We looked at the soul as the mind, the will, the emotions, personality, self-conscious, ego, how you view yourself. And Peter, 1 Peter 2:2 says, like newborn babies, crave spiritual milk so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. In other words, that's laboring to enter into his rest, Hebrews 4:4 says. And that word laboring means to study, give diligence to, and also to do it in haste. In other words, don't wait for something to happen. Get into the Word of God. Because like we said, I'm just going to put those two things, that's just a graphic. This is from the Passion Translations, for we have the living Word of God, which is full of energy. Let's just stop there. When we get into the Word of God, when we meditate on the Word of God, we're not studying it just to memorize it, we're eating it. Just like when you take communion, you take it in, we're meditating on it, we're letting it affect us. We're getting into relationship with the Lord, letting it know who we are. Like it says, like newborn babes crave pure spiritual milk. And so here is this energizing Word of God that does this. It's like a two-mouthed sword, even to the penetrating, to the very core of our being, where soul, spirit, bone, and marrow meet. From 2 Corinthians 1:20, it says, for no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. What did it just tell you? What is the Word of God just telling you?
You can have it.
You can have it. What's his answer to it? Yes. Yes in Christ. And so through him, we add the amen, the so be it, that's right. And so again, our soul, our mind and will and emotions are starting to connect when we get into the Word of God, when we trust the Word of God, believe the Word of God for what he has promised us. Is he a liar?
No.
No. All right. Proverbs 27:19, it says, as water reflects the face, so one's life reflects the heart. And I brought that scripture into thing to make us understand. Sometimes we're not seeing in our life what we know has happened in the spirit. But our life reflects what's going on in the heart. And how do we affect our heart for the things of God? Romans 12:2 says, do not be conformed to the patterns of this world, but be transformed, how? Renewing of your mind so that you're able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Ah, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. All right, so we talked about the heart. We just read the scripture that tells us that all the promises of God are yes to us. But what happens is when we're not focused on the Word, when we're focusing out here, we're allowing the situations and circumstances to dictate truth to us, we start writing things on our heart. I'm not worthy to receive. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. Please understand something. You were a sinner. You are saved by grace. You are no longer a sinner. And to say, I'm a sinner saved by grace, you are what conscious? Sin conscious. Do you want to be sin conscious, or do you want to know that your sins have been removed from as far as the east is from the west? You've been saved by grace, and man, what an incredible work of grace that is. It's not God's will for this to happen in my life, whatever you're looking for, this promise. I don't understand the Bible. Hey, talk to the Holy Spirit. Let him bring revelation. The promises of God are not for me now. You probably can't see that. Need to do more to get God to do whatever. That's that works. We're caught up in old covenant thinking. God is doing this to me. Oh, man. That's a harsh one. Okay, all the gifts of the Spirit were for the new church only. They're not for us today. I'm not healed because God must want me this way. I'm full of worry. Worried finances, worried about kids, worried about education, worried about COVID, worried about, the government, worried about. I never have enough. That's a lack mentality. Enough friends, enough food, enough money, enough time, enough. That's a lack mentality. Everyone is against me. I have a few people who are like that. They see everybody as being against them. They have a fear of whatever. Whatever I've done or am doing has disqualified me, and my faith is too small. I'm full of doubt and unbelief. That's all of those things are full of doubt. Those are doubts and unbelief. And they block the promises that flow from the Spirit into our being. The promises are there. They're ours. And we have, I call this a chaotic heart or a cluttered heart. And we've created it and established it. And the Lord has given us some directions. He says, above all else, guard your heart. For everything you do or the issues of life flow from it. And that's right in there. In fact, it starts out by saying, son, pay attention to the words, pay attention to what I say. Turn your ears towards my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart. What if you could replace all of those words with the truth of God? It would be wonderful. Establishing your heart, your belief in what God has said. For they are life to those who find them and health to one's whole body. Ooh, something here. We're moving into the body here in just a minute. But above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. And we guard our heart by paying attention to the gatekeeper of our heart, which is our mind, our thoughts. All right. Believe and receive, part three. That was just the intro. Will be saved. Okay. Now, I want to talk, I'm just going to, still thinking a bit about last week's message, about that idea that we have little faith. My faith is too small. And I want to remind you again, just of that story of Peter getting out of the boat and walking on the water. And he says, Lord, tell me to come. And Jesus says, come. And he gets out of the boat and he walks on the water towards Jesus. And he's walking on the water. Then he starts looking around at his circumstance and he sinks. And he says, Lord, save me. And the Lord reaches out and saves him. But what does he say to him? You of little faith, why did you doubt? Now, when we take that moment and think about it, we often say, well, see, he had little faith. His faith was too small. But Jesus said, no, faith the size of a mustard seed, you can move a mountain. He got a hold of him and said, listen, you of little faith, the little faith got him walking on the water. Little faith had Peter walking on the water. It was his doubt that caused it. And we know that Peter walked on the water in his faith in Jesus. It wasn't Jesus causing him to walk, because he would have never sunk if it was all about that. It was Peter's faith in what Jesus had said. He said, come. And he had little faith, but that little faith caused him to walk on the water. So I'm going to say, if you feel like you have little faith, if you have faith enough to believe in Jesus and be saved, you have at least that much, and you can walk on water. It's our doubt. It's our, when we get caught up in what we see around us and thinking that that's truth. But when Peter focused on Jesus, who said, come, he could do it. We know that our soul is being saved, that we're renewing our mind after the Spirit. But here's the other thing, is that we have a body. It says, I'm sorry that scripture came up again. I'm just going to put this one here. We see Spirit and Holy Spirit, soul and body. And we need to recognize, though these are separated out, they're all together in one body. And our body is precious. Let's see here. It's the same thing. Our body is precious. It's created in the image of God. All of us, all part of it, not just our body, but all of it. But it's something that God created. And when God created, he said it was very good. Our body has touch, taste, smelling, hearing, and sight. And our body has appetites. desires, urges. We hunger, we thirst, we want physical touch, we want pleasure, and we want love. These are all urges and appetites of the body. And all of them are processed in the brain. All of these things. Not the heart, the brain. Now, when we look at this body, we know some things. It says, now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. So if we've died with him, we'll live with him. Our body will be alive. And I'm not going to put all of these scriptures up there because they were really long, and I had an incident with PowerPoint last night where I had to redo everything. So I'm just going to read it to you. This is from the Amplified Version. For if we know that if this earthly tent, our physical body, which is our house, is torn down through death, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For indeed, in this house, we groan, in this house, longing to be clothed with our immortal, eternal, celestial dwelling, so that by putting it on, we will not be found naked. For while we're in this tent, we groan, being burdened often, weighed down, and oppressed. How many of you groan in this body? A few aches and pains, yes. We groan. We want, not that we want to be unclothed, separated by death from our body, but to be clothed so that the mortal, the body, will be swallowed up by life. Don't you love that? I love the way it puts it. Swallowed up by life after the resurrection. Now he who has made us and prepared us for this very purpose is God, who gave us the Holy Spirit as a pledge, a guarantee, and a down payment to the fulfillment of his promise. So we are promised a new body. From 1 Corinthians 15, 20 to 23, this is NIV. But Christ has indeed been risen from the dead, the first fruit of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of death comes also through a man. For as Adam all died, so in Christ all will be made alive. But each in turn, Christ, the first fruit, and then when he comes, those who belong to him. 1 Corinthians 15, 50 to 58, I declare to you, brothers and sisters, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. But listen, I'll tell you a mystery. Not all will sleep, but all will be changed. So there's some of us that will not know death of the flesh, the physical body, but we'll all be changed. In a flash, in a twinkling of an eye, and at the last trump, for the trump will sound and the dead will rise imperishable, and we will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself in the imperishable, and the mortal in the immortal. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, and the mortal with the immortal, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up by victory. O death, where is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourself fully to the work of God, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. So we can see that Scripture confirms that we will be saved. This body will be saved. And I thank goodness that it'll be a new imperishable body. And I'm thinking it's going to be younger and healthy and all of you, all of those things. But now, you know what? We still have a body here on earth, and we've been given some instruction, some direction, and some wisdom in regards to the body and its urges, appetites, and desires. And we're going to, here's our little body here, come back to this. Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you receive from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. And again, let's see. So we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And I want you to think about that for just a minute. Holy Spirit, Pentecost Sunday, the day we celebrate when the Holy Spirit was poured out on all flesh. This is flesh, this squishy stuff. And we also look at flesh as being our humanity that is prone to sin, our physical body, our carnal cravings, if I could put it that way. We can be carnally minded. Now, here's the thing. Not being all sin is carnal, but not all carnality is sin. And it looks like it's back. Is it going to die again? Huh? Okay. We'll see if it'll keep going. Okay. So again, we understand. Okay, technology. But there's where we need the power, right? Power of the Holy Spirit. That's who's generating us. Okay. Where am I here? So we have been baptized in the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit lives in our body. Our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. There we go. 1 Peter 2:11, this is from the Amplified. I urge you, beloved, I urge you, as aliens and strangers in this world. So are you of this world? No, you're an alien to this world. To abstain from the sensual urges, those disobedient desires that wage war against your soul. So there's things that happen in our body that wage war against our soul. And remember, your soul is your mind, your will, your emotions, and it's the gatekeeper of your heart, which is where you connect with the Spirit. Galatians 5, let me go here. Yeah, I'm sorry, I knew they were out of order. Galatians 5:17, this is the Passion Translation. When your self-life craves the things that offend the Holy Spirit, you hinder him from living free within you. When we were looking at those things that are in our heart, that are chaotic and chaos, we hinder the Holy Spirit from flowing through us. And those are the craving, the self-life cravings. Now, what's our self-life cravings? Well, I can stand before you and say, obviously, there's a physical self-craving thing that I give into quite frequently. I'm not even going to tell you what it is. I don't think I need to. But there are other cravings that we give into. The need to, again, our thinking gets caught up in our lack. We need to. How many of you know drama queens? I'm going to say kings, too. Who always create chaos and drama in their lives. Those types of things. We know those people. Anyhow, the Holy Spirit. Okay, let me try that. So the Spirit. I'm distracted by this. So let me just keep going for a second here. When your self-life craves the things that offend the Holy Spirit, you hinder him from living free within you. The Holy Spirit's intense cravings hinders your self-life from dominating you. Don't you like that? The Holy Spirit has intense cravings that hinder your self-life from dominating you. So we don't have to get too freaked out. So then, The two incompatible and conflicting forces within you are your self-life of the flesh and the new creation life of the spirit. We'll go to Romans 6:6 here. It says, for I know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with or rendered powerless, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. So what have we got going on here? We've been told that the Holy Spirit and our flesh are at odds with each other, but that the Holy Spirit can dominate in your life. And that we know that this body of sin has been done away with when we recognize it's been crucified with Christ. You say, well, no, it's not. It's right here. But what it's saying is it's been rendered powerless, that we should no longer be a slave to sin. Romans, this was one of my favorite scriptures for a long time because I love Paul's honesty here. Romans 7:21, though my experience, this is from the Passion Translation, though my experience of this principle, I discovered that even when I wanted to do good, evil was ready to sabotage me. Truly, deep within my true identity, I love to do what pleases God. But I discern another power operating in my humanity, waging war against the moral principles of my conscience and bringing me into captivity as a prisoner to the law of sin. This unwelcome intruder in my humanity. What an agonizing situation I'm in. So, who has the power to rescue me, this miserable man, from this unwelcome intruder of sin and death? I give all my thanks to God, for his mighty power has finally provided a way out through our Lord Jesus Christ, the Anointed One. So if I'm left to myself, the flesh is aligned with the law of sin. But now, my renewed mind is fixed on another, is fixed on and submitted to God's righteous principle. Again, we come back to that connectiveness between body, soul, and spirit. When I renew my mind, even this body has to submit. Therefore, I'm going to move on here. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, and then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. We've already heard that scripture. Romans 5:8-11. Those who live according to the flesh have their mind set on the flesh's desires. Flesh here means that physical nature, that human nature prone to sin and carnality, that carnal-mindedness. It is about the five senses in your physical urges, the sinful desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but in the realm of the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. Amen? Spirit of God in you? Yep. And this is the living word of God that's here to empower us. It's not my words, it's the words of God. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. Do you belong to Christ? Amen. But if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Christ from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of a Spirit who lives in you. Whoa, I love that. That's truth. That sword coming out, cutting down old ideas and old beliefs and bringing in the truth of God. Yeah. I have the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit was poured out over 2,000 years ago, but he's still alive and well today, and he's alive and well today in you, and he's alive and well in today in me. Bringing life to these bodies. Okay, let's move on here. Okay, I'm going to go this way because they're popping up out of order. Colossians 2, 13 to 15. This realm of death describes our former state. We were held in sin's grasp, but now we've been rescued out of the realm of death, never to return, for we are forever alive and forgiven of all our sins. That's the Passion Translation. He's canceled out every legal violation we had on our records, and the old arrest warrant that was stood to indict us. He erased it all, our sins, our stained souls. He deleted it all, and they cannot be retrieved. Hello. They cannot be retrieved. Everything we once were in Adam has been placed on the cross and nailed permanently there as a public display of cancellation. Then Jesus made a public spectacle of all powers and principalities of darkness, stripping away from them every weapon and all their spiritual authority and power to access us. And by the power of the cross, Jesus led them around as prisoners in procession of triumph. He was not their prisoner, they were his. That's the Passion Translation. I love that. I love that. 1 Corinthians 6, 12, 20. It's true that our freedom allows us to do anything, but that doesn't mean that everything we do is good for us. I am free to do as I choose, but I choose to never be enslaved to anything. Some have said, eat and live, and I live to eat. But God will do away with it all. The body was not created for illicit sex, but to serve and to worship our Lord. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit? That's But to serve and worship our Lord Jesus, who can fill the body with himself. Oh, man. Now, the God who raised our Lord from the grave will awaken and arise in us through his mighty power. Do you not know that your bodies belong to Christ as part of his body? Should one presume to take the members of Christ's body and make them into members of a harlot? Absolutely not. Aren't you aware of the fact that when anyone sleeps with a prostitute, he becomes a part of her, and she becomes a part of him? For it has been declared that the two shall become a single body, or shall become one flesh. I'm just going to stop there and talk about that for a minute. We have a world today that says it's quite all right to live together, sleep together. There's something that happens, the two become one flesh. But let me tell you, if it's not in covenant relationship, if it's not in the marriage covenant relationship, it is of the flesh, it is not of the spirit. Anybody who commits adultery, all of those types of things, it says, look at, you are the body of Christ. Do you want Christ sleeping with prostitutes? Do you want to introduce into the body of Christ this kind of stuff? We don't. I know we don't. But the one who joins himself to the Lord is mingled into one spirit with him, and we've read that before. This is why you must keep running away from sexual immorality. For every other sin a person commits is external to the body. But immorality involves sinning against your own body. And then it goes on to say, have you forgotten, this is the Passion Translation, have you forgotten that your body is now a sacred temple of the holy of holiness who lives in you? You don't belong to yourself any longer, for the gift to God, the Holy Spirit, lives in your sanctuary. Do you see yourself as a sanctuary to God?
Your body is a sanctuary to God. You were God's expensive purchase, paid for with tears of blood. So by all means, then use your body to bring glory to God. If you think about something for a second, back in Exodus 25:8, God said this, "Have them make a sanctuary for me, and I will dwell among them." And you think about the tabernacle, it went wherever they did. It was movable. And it was a type and a symbol to us of where God wants to be. It was external, but now it's internal. We are that sanctuary. And God had specific things to happen in that sanctuary. And he's asking that here. Don't pollute it. It's always been God's plan to dwell with us. And I'm going to, I have a little bit left here, but I'm going to call it quits for time. I'm just going to mention to our at-home folks from Ephesians 4, 17 to 33. And again, I read it from the Passion Translation. And the next two are going to come up here. I love this. May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. And from Philippians 1:6, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on till completion, until the day of Christ. Amen? Amen. Father, again, we thank you. We bless you. We thank you that your presence is always with us and that you, by our work of grace, are working in us always. We give you honor and glory and blessing in the precious name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. All right. Bless you guys. Have a great week. And we will see you next week.